The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And let's see what we want to talk about today. Well, you know, I suppose we should talk about Time's Person of the Year. Greta Thunberg is how you pronounce her name, I suppose. I always thought it was Greta Thunberg, because that's how I would read it. But I hear people saying Thunberg all the time. So that's how I'm going to say it, too. So Greta Thunberg has been not just nominated, she has been chosen as Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Are they still a magazine anymore? I thought they went out of print and they were just online now. But anyway, Greta Thunberg is a 16-year-old climate change activist. Is she still 16? I feel like she's been 16 for 2 or 3 years now. Is she still 16 years old? But she's a very young climate change activist, and she's famous because she goes on TV, right, and she yells at people. I mean, she's really, really dramatic. She tells people who aren't in favor of taxing people for climate change that you've stolen her childhood. Stolen her childhood. This truant who gets to go around anywhere that she wants to, pretty much, as long as she says certain things that other people want her to say. She says that her childhood is ruined. Well, if it's been ruined, it's not by the weather. It's been like fools like Time Magazine's editorial board choosing her as Person of the Year and throwing her into the public light. And then they say that you can't even criticize her because she's young. So you can put this mouthpiece up, say whatever you want through her, and then nobody can say anything back because that person's young. You know, that kind of reminds me of when Obama was president, and if people leveled criticism against him, they say, oh, you're just saying that because he's black. And it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with them saying nonsense that you don't believe.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones.
She could be Actress of the Year. That, I'd be fine with that award. Actress of the Year is great. I'm actually fine with this award. I know that it's kind of stupid. People are sort of bent out of shape about it. Trump's mad about it. But, I mean, look. The Time Magazine's editorial board, it's a group of people, and they go, who are we going to nominate and elect as Person of the Year? And they probably do it based on who they think is going to, like, sell them the most magazines or generate the most controversy or something like that, you know? And they probably are like, hey, if we got Greta Thunberg, wouldn't we really stick it to Trump? That would be great, you know? That's probably what they were thinking. You know, forget about the Hong Kong protesters. Forget about anybody in the world that's making any kind of an actual impact. Let's have Greta Thunberg, who's going around to the UN and stuff, making these empty speeches that aren't resulting in any policy changes, aren't bringing about any awareness other than the fact that you have somebody this young who can be so mad. On the other hand, I'm happy she has work, right? I mean, most 16-year-olds, they're still in school. They're not out there making a living, right? Especially making a living, having fun, yelling at people and things, sparring with the president. So President Trump gave out a predictably, you know, ridiculous reply. And Trump War Room, which is his campaign, which has been getting a lot of flack lately because they're kind of gearing up, I guess, and they're putting out these memes and their tweets, and they're hilarious. So if you remember a while back, they put out one with Donald Trump's head on Rocky Balboa's body. And then, like, these media outlets were debunking it. I think Washington Post said something about, you know, that's not really Trump's body, and a lot of commentators who work for media companies were saying things along the lines of Trump voters are so stupid they actually think that Trump's body. They weren't saying that ironically. They really did believe that Trump voters thought that Donald Trump has Rocky Balboa's body with the world championship, you know, world boxing championship belt on from a movie poster. I mean, come on, man. These people are not thinking clearly. They're not correct. So Trump put out a meme or retweeted a meme or whatever with his head on Greta Thunberg's body. So the resulting image was that a very weird, skinny-looking Trump was on the cover of Time magazine that read Person of the Year. You know, the other meme that came out this past week that also made a lot of headlines was Donald, or was it last week? Donald Trump's War Room had put out a meme of Thanos from the movie Avengers Endgame. Now, I don't know if you've seen that, but in it, there's this bad guy, and he snaps his fingers, and everything disappears. Actually, that was in the previous movie, but the clip was from the movie, the sequel to it. My point is that everybody is making these Thanos memes, okay? Like, even before Trump put it out, everyone's making these memes with Thanos snapping his fingers and things disappearing or other nonsense, okay? It's just fun, it's funny, it's dumb, it's ridiculous, whatever. It's just spit posting is how I'll call that, okay? And so he puts this out, and Don Lemon on CNN gets in front of a camera and starts having this little fit about the damn meme. I mean, come on, guys. This is just a funny little thing. It's a joke. It's not a big deal. And he is up there acting like this is the end of the world, that the presidential campaign is having a little bit of fun. I mean, relax, man. I'm looking at news stories saying things like, hey, you know that Thanos was the bad guy, right? You know that right after that scene, he lost, right? I mean, it's not an analogy. It's a little joke, okay? The Trump War Room is not saying that Trump is Thanos. The character of Thanos is a villain, and he wants to wipe out half of all life in the universe, okay? I saw Cenk Uygur, who's running for Congress in California. He gets on and makes this giant speech comparing Republicans to actually comparing Trump to Thanos, saying that Thanos was a mass murderer, a genocidal mass murderer of incredible proportions, of unbelievable proportions, and that's who the Republicans' hero is. I mean, geez, talk about demagoguing, right? And right now, Cenk is really getting it. I mean, because he's running as a Democrat, and Democrats do not play fair. So the establishment Democrats are smearing the hell out of him right now. They are making him look so bad, using old clips, things out of context, things in context that were said a long time ago that were okay to say back then or that were edgy back then, but now are like really frowned down upon. And they're making him look terrible. I mean, right now, that dude is like nuclear waste, okay? I mean, they are smearing the heck out of him. Bernie Sanders endorsed him. I'm talking about Cenk Uygur. He is a YouTube host of a really giant network, one of the biggest on YouTube. And he is, and I think he owns it, right? And he is running for Congress right now to take over Katie Hill's seat. So Katie Hill is the disgraced Congresswoman who left office because, well, at first she was really propped up as being a wonderful person to be the first openly bisexual woman and who's in Congress. And then she left in disgrace when it turned out that she was having these affairs with her staffers and apparently not always consensual. I don't know what that whole mess was about. But, I mean, it was crummy, right? It's dirty. But when they are trying to replace her right now, and so they're having a runoff election as to who's going to take over her seat. And Cenk is in the running. I don't know if runoff is the right word, but Cenk is in the running. And so the establishment Democrats are pulling out all the stops to make him look bad. And it's funny because Cenk, even though he's a demagoguer himself and he's a smearer himself, and I don't like his politics at all, and I don't like his... I don't think he understands how economies work, and I think he'd be terrible in office. From the perspective of a liberal in California, in the district that he's running, he would do well by them. They should, on paper, really like him a lot. He's well-spoken. But like I said, Bernie Sanders, what's her name? Two other big-time progressives who are in office endorsed him, and they retracted their endorsement. Now, they're saying that the reason they retracted their endorsement is because Cenk said he's not going to accept any endorsements except for the people of California, that district, District 15 maybe. And as much as I dislike Cenk, what they're doing to him is unfair. It is really not cool. They're making him look really, really bad here. So, I guess what, I mean, you could say what goes around comes around, but I think we need to stop this garbage. It used to make me mad when McCain would go on the campaign trail and say that Obama pals around with terrorists. You know, again, Obama, I don't like his politics. I don't like the way that he runs the country, that he ran the country. But you can't go around with these baseless smears because it lowers your credibility and it really creates a divisiveness in the country, which is very unhealthy. And so back then, I felt like Republicans were the ones who were the worst at it, especially when George Bush was in office and George Bush was saying things, you know, if you remember when 9/11 happened, if you had any dissenting opinion about the Iraq war, I mean, there were cases where people would call the FBI on you, right? It was a scary time back then. And nowadays, there's some aspects that kind of remind me of that, you know, this whole Russiagate thing, this garbage, Nancy Pelosi endlessly spewing out Russiagate over and over again. But I'm going to bring this back to the Greta Thunberg deal. I got off track a little bit because I was talking about the memes and I went on a whole side conversation there. Donald Trump said some things about Greta Thunberg, like, well, he was talking about the person of the year thing in general, and he's like, it's ridiculous, and that Greta Thunberg should relax and be a kid or something like that, and watch some movies with her friends, stop being angry. So, I think he said she should take an anger management course. So, Greta Thunberg changes her Twitter and says, just a kid taking anger management and watching movies with my friends, which is what Trump said. And the press is going nuts, going, oh my God, what a great troll of Donald Trump. You know, she took what he said and put it on her Twitter page. Well, this is the second time she's done that. So he said similar things about her before, said she should go out and, you know, appreciate the sunshine or something like that. And then she changed her Twitter to say, went out and appreciated the sunshine or whatever it was that he said. So she's done this before. The first time I thought it was stupid because it shows that she cares so much about what he says that she changes her Twitter description. But then she did it again, and the press is like, oh, that's so good, that's so clever. And it's just juvenile. What Trump is doing is juvenile, too. I'm not saying that. I mean, so she's Person of the Year. It is ridiculous. She needs to relax. But, I mean, she didn't choose herself Person of the Year. Time Magazine did it. So I would have just been like, okay. Time. I would have ignored it. I wouldn't have even cared. So she's Person of the Year. So what? I mean, I guess I'm talking about it now, but as a commentator, not as President of the United States. You know, sometimes he really lets the small stuff get in his way. But I'll tell you what, a lot of times he has an angle on these things, too. So who knows what his game is? Maybe he's just distracting people. Maybe he's just trying to stay in the press. I remember when Nancy Pelosi and the squad were having a little fight with each other. And it looked... And Cortez, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was saying something along the lines of, why does Pelosi make these attacks against the only brown people in Congress, or something along those lines? And it looked like they were, you know, she was like accusing her of racism, right? And then Nancy Pelosi comes out and says, I've always stood up for racism and, you know, whatever, whatever. And then Trump comes out and says that the members of the squad should go back to their war-torn countries, fix them, and then come back here and tell us how it's done. And so when he said that, that sounded a lot like when you tell a foreigner, you know, go back to where you came from, right? It had that kind of vibe to it. And so then everybody unites against Trump. And what that had the effect of doing is, instead of making it look like the establishment wing represented by Nancy Pelosi of the Democrats and the far-left progressive wing of the Democrats represented by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the rest of the squad, Ilhan Omar and all of those, Rashida Tlaib, it made them, instead of looking at like two separate factions, it brought them back together. So now every nutty thing that the far-leftists say is attributed to all of the Democrats instead of just the schism of the squad, the little splinter wing of the Democrat Party. Now they smear all of the Democrats with that brush. Isn't that funny? And you know, the far left Democrats sort of get that and understand it. And so anytime that the press comes out against Donald Trump, they try to say, well, we've got to make it look like all the Republicans are endorsing Trump. And we've got to sell them all as one package. So every nutty thing that Trump says, we have to attribute to all of the Republicans. But the news media so far has resisted that because they want to have the narrative of Trump is so bad, even Republicans don't like him. So it's kind of funny that that's not working, that tactic isn't working in the other direction. What else? I guess this is a big story. So the House has drafted the articles of impeachment, and they voted on them positively. So now it's up to the Senate. Trump will be the third president to be impeached. Now, impeachment means, of course, that things go to trial, and so that this entire controversy will be investigated, which means more endless garbage drama. And, you know, Trump's fundraising has gone up so tremendously since this has happened. I'm seeing articles from left-wing media basically saying that you're getting Trump reelected with this impeachment garbage. I have been looking at multiple articles talking about CNN's ratings. CNN, who was carrying the impeachment proceedings, actually stopped showing them and said, well, you can see them online. We're going back to regular programming because their ratings dropped so low. Their ratings are something like a third of the next, you know, of Fox News at this point. And it's embarrassing. So what's interesting to me is that from the numbers, it looks like no one is really interested in this impeachment stuff. And I can understand that because to me, it was always obvious that the Russiagate thing was garbage and a hoax, and it was just to smear Trump, and that there was nothing to it. And after that was done, and the Democrats had their hopes so high, you know, I'm not talking about the Democrats as in the establishment Democrat, I'm talking about the average Democrat, the man on the street, the voter, had their hopes brought up so high that they were finally going to get Trump and prove that he is a Russian asset all along. I mean, come on, guys. Just think with your brain, okay? If Trump was a Russian asset, do you think that he would was truly a Russian asset? Do you think that he would be allowed to be president for any length of time? Do you think it would even be a controversy? If it was discovered by intelligence sources that he was working for the Russians, you think that we would just go for 3 years or 2 years or whatever and just be like, okay, it's all right, you know, whatever. Come on. No way. There's no way. So all the members of Congress know that this is a farce being played up for political purposes. Okay, they know it. And when the Mueller report came, and, you know, they were like, oh, it's Mueller time, and he's going to get him. And Mueller was Comey's friend, and he's mad at what Trump did to Comey, so he's really going to get Trump. Comes out nothing. Nothing. So you can fool all of the people some of the time, but there's a limit, man. There is a limit, and I think we've reached that limit a while ago. So these impeachment hearings are going nowhere, and I told you guys that. I told you guys that nothing's going to come of this. You know, it's not a big deal. I mean, it's the economy, stupid, right? People are living high off the hog right now, and they're loving it. They don't want to get rid of that. Heck, I'll give you some proof. The Trump's budget, military budget, was recently passed overwhelmingly by the Democrats. All the little social program adjustments that the Democrats try to put in there, boom, just taken right out. The Republicans savaged them. And that bill passed anyway. Huge boon for the military. I think it's too much. I think it's way too much. This is something that Trump does that I don't like. I think his spending is way out of control. But the Democrats are completely ineffective. And I hope that they lose again. They're pulling the same stunts that they did back in 2015, 2016, in the 2016 election against Bernie Sanders. You know, I watched Bernie Sanders' campaign rally just full of empty fluff. I'm the 1%. You got to get the rich. The rich hate you. And man, I can't stand that guy. The Democrats don't care about rich people. Other than getting their money, the Democrats like rich people. Look at Bloomberg. So Bloomberg enters a race and boom, shoots past everybody. Well, not everybody. I mean, not the super high ups like Biden and Sanders and Warren, but shoots past all the other the small fish. Right. So he passes Gabbard, passes Tom Steyer, passes Andrew Yang, Klobuchar, who's that, the spacey lady, you know, I mean, just blows by all of them. How did he do it? How did he enter the race with nothing and then just doesn't even do any of the debates and then just shoots on through? Because he's spending money, guys. He blew $100 million of his own money. And I think that's fine. I really do. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that Bloomberg is a very boring candidate. I think he's got a huge advantage, though, which is that the press will not criticize him. Bloomberg owns a network. You know that. So the Bloomberg network has said that we're not going to – Bloomberg News says that we're not going to come out and say anything against our owner. For Christ's sake, he's our owner. And because we're not criticizing our owner, we are also not going to criticize his competition because journalistically that would be unfair. So Bloomberg News is not going to criticize any of the Democrats, is not going to dig for dirt on them, not going to come out with any investigative reporting on any of the Democrats now. Hey, that does kind of remind me of the impeachment hearings where they had the witness. The Democrats' witness is also the cross-examiner. But I'm almost out of time. You know, if I was Tom Steyer, I would be very annoyed because Tom Steyer is also a billionaire. Not, I mean, no one's like Bloomberg rich, but Tom Steyer is pretty darn rich. And when he came in, everyone was mad at him because they're like, oh, you think you can just buy the nomination? Oh, we don't want a billionaire in here. And now Bloomberg comes out and nobody says anything. The difference being, of course, Bloomberg is in media, and so he's getting a pass. No one wants to make him angry or upset. The poor Tom Steyer, you know, he gets nothing. I hope this economy holds. I want to see the debates. I want to see Trump tear somebody a new one. It's an exciting time, guys. It really, really.